Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
You're looking live at Pinecrest High School right now, where some students are expected to protest a new decision by the Moore County Board of Education. Some say it could put members of the LGBTQ plus community at risk. Plus,
I am putting one foot in front of the other, even on the days that my feet know no direction.
A heartfelt appeal to state lawmakers from the wife of a Raleigh police officer killed on his way to work.
Plus, thousands of people united for one mission to demand what they call common sense gun reform. Well, just in any moment, students are expected to walk out of class in a show of solidarity. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Some students at Pinecrest High School in Moore County object to a policy that could potentially out members of the LGBTQ community to their parents. WRAL's Shelley Jackson is live in Moore County to show us they're upset about this, and they're expressing that in a protest. Shelley.
Well, they are. The students walked out at 11:55, and we can't get on school property, but let me show you. Here are some of the parents who have met across the street to support their students inside. And actually, over here, some students have left. They did plan to do the protest in the courtyard, but they're coming out here. Now, this protest is a protest of the board approving a new policy regarding pronouns on Monday night. The district will now require parents to be notified if students ask to use different pronouns or names, even if students say they're not ready to tell their parents about their decision. At that meeting, board members said they did not have the right to second-guess parents. Critics say this is targeting LGBTQ students, though. The policy doesn't include parental notification if a student asks to be called by their nickname, for instance. So North Carolina lawmakers are considering similar restrictions statewide, with a bill already passing in the Senate. And we'll have more for you from these students coming up in our later shows. Back to you.
Shelley Jackson, live at Pinecrest High School in Moore County. Shelley, thank you. Today's walkout comes less than 24 hours after lawmakers introduced a GOP-backed bill that would place restrictions on drag performances in North Carolina. If approved, the bill would criminalize drag shows in public places in the presence of people under the age of 18. Violators would face a misdemeanor for the first offense and felony charges afterward. Drag performers say the bill is an attack on their community and limits their work as artists. Supporters of the bill say it aims to protect children.
And breaking here in the WRAL Live Center, the family of Tyree Nichols announcing a civil lawsuit at this hour. That lawsuit is against the city of Memphis, its police department, and the officers involved in his beating death on January 10th, the 29-year-old Nichols died at 3 days after he was stopped by Memphis police for what they called reckless driving. The police chief determined no evidence of that was found. Officers repeatedly punched and kicked Nichols during that January traffic stop. Five Memphis police officers have been fired and criminally charged with second-degree murder, all of them recently pleading not guilty in this case. Again, the family of Tyree Nichols announcing a civil lawsuit. We'll continue to monitor this story and have any new developments during this newscast.
The person who opened fire Sunday in an apartment complex in the Glenwood South neighborhood has been arrested and charged. WRAL's Michelle McConaughey is here with what we've learned in just the last hour, Michelle.
Yeah, Jeff, Hakeem Jones was arrested today and is charged with two counts of assault with a deadly weapon with intent to kill and two counts of discharging a weapon into occupied property. Jones was released on $150,000 bond. This is who we are talking about. This is his picture here. Arrest warrants show that Jones fired shots into two occupied apartments at the Gramercy Apartments on West North Street on Sunday. Officers said shots were fired both inside and outside the suspect's apartment. No one was hit by any of the bullets, but Raleigh police officers said one woman was injured from broken glass. Jones's next court date is on May 10th, Jeff.
Michelle, thanks for that update. At this hour, family and friends are gathering to remember a 15-year-old girl killed at a pool party in Goldsboro. A visitation for Joanna Pearsall began at noon at the Bear Creek Association headquarters. The service starts at 1 o'clock in the same location. Pearsall will be buried in a purple casket. Purple was her favorite color. Five other people were hurt in that shooting. Police have not announced any arrests or a motive.
The widow of a Raleigh police officer killed in the Headingham mass shooting appealed to state lawmakers to push through the Gabe Torres Act.
Let's change the law. Let's get the Gabe Torres Act onto the House floor. Let's ensure that no other first responder family in this state is left with uncertainty. Let's let our heroes be heroes and honor them as such.
The Gabe Torres Act, named after her husband, would expand death benefits for public safety employees who are on the way to or from work. Officer Torres was in his car about to drive to work when he was shot and killed back in October. His death was not covered under the current death benefit law because he was not on duty yet. The 29-year-old was about to drive to work when he was ambushed. State lawmakers are holding their first debate on an effort to protect children from child abuse. Crystal's Law is named after 8-year-old Crystal Lane. Police say she died at the hands of her grandmother, Patricia Ricks. A WRAL investigation found Nash County Social Services knew of potential abuse weeks earlier, but chose not to intervene. A state investigation later found the agency mishandled the case as well as many other cases. This new law would give the state more power to oversee investigations like these.
We are working to learn the details of a crash that tied up traffic along I-540 this morning. This was a scene from the breaking news tracker during the 9 o'clock hour. At one point, Raleigh police and fire shut down all westbound lanes near the Triangle Town Center exit. There's no word on a cause or if anyone was hurt. Traffic is now once again freely flowing this noon. Investigators spent hours on the scene of a serious crash in Wake County this morning. It happened after 1:30 on Durant Road near Stormy Gale Road. It's not clear if anyone was injured at this time. The State Highway Patrol is investigating.
A Central Texas cheerleader is recovering from gunshot wounds after shooting in a grocery store parking lot. Police believe the girl got into the wrong vehicle. This is just the latest in a string of shootings gaining national attention. Investigators say the 25-year-old man inside the car got out and opened fire, shooting two of the cheerleaders. One was treated at the scene. The other was flown to the hospital by helicopter. The shooter is charged with deadly conduct, which is a third-degree felony, and he could face additional charges. In rural upstate New York, 20-year-old Kaylin Gillis was shot and killed Saturday night when the SUV she was in pulled into the wrong driveway. Investigators say Kevin Monahan walked out of his home and fired two shots at the vehicle. He's pleaded not guilty to second-degree murder.
In just a few hours, we'll get an update on the huge electric car factory being built by VinFast in Chatham County. Top U.S. and North Carolina officials will take part in a big event just days or weeks, I should say, after delaying the launch of the VinFast facility. WRAL's Laura Levine explains the move to delay.
Today, many people are anticipating getting that update on the progress of VinFast's footprint here in North Carolina. Many top leaders will meet right here at the Moore Center behind me on the campus of Central Carolina Community College. Now, this comes after VinFast shared just a few weeks ago that the launch of the new electric vehicle company in Chatham County will be delayed. We plan to learn more about how the project is moving along as top officials with the U.S. Department of Commerce will join VinFast executives and Governor Roy Cooper here today. Leaders say this campus will serve as a workforce development training facility for VinFast. We spoke with Karen Howard with the Chatham County Board of Commissioners about that decision and the new timeline.
I feel good about it. I know that they've kept an ongoing conversation with the county and with the school district and community college, and that is what I think should be happening right now. Right? They want to build a pipeline of future employees, and I think our students are the best poised to be some of those starting employees.
Officials with VinFast say they plan to also have two of its vehicles here on hand to test drive. The event begins at 3 p.m. Laura Levine, WRAL News in Sanford.
We'll get our first look today at a big renovation at the North Carolina State Crime Lab in Raleigh. State leaders will join Attorney General Josh Stein at 1:30 for ribbon cutting for the new drug chemistry and toxicology sections of the lab. Those are crucial for testing evidence related to criminal cases, especially those involving fentanyl, the drug that's fueling a rise in overdose deaths across our state.
Let's take a look at the markets. No wild swings at this hour as investors try to digest new economic data. Morgan Stanley, Netflix releasing their earnings reports. The Dow Jones down about 90 points. S&P 500 staying about the same. NASDAQ in red territory, down single digits. The Carolina Hurricanes will try to take a two-game lead tonight in the Stanley Cup playoffs. They face off against the New York Islanders in Game 2 of their opening round series at PNC Arena. The Canes took Game 1 of the best-of-seven series Monday night. The puck drops tonight at 7.
Can't wait for it. Next at noon, an impressive display of unity in Nashville, Tennessee. The message thousands of people were trying to send by forming a human chain.
Also, UFOs are taking over Washington, D.C. Why Congress is focusing on unidentified flying objects today.
Plus, a Fayetteville home invasion turns deadly. At 12:30, we hear from the brother of the person killed. Elizabeth.
Great day to be outside. Take a live look here at Pinehurst. You can see a lot of folks out there on the golf course. Take advantage of it while you can. I'll show you the timeline for some rain over the weekend.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
And we continue to follow breaking news here in the WRAL Live Center. I want to take you to these live pictures right now in the legislative building. This is a news conference concerning the Fairness in Women's Act. Right now, they're hearing from Erin Perret. She is one of the General Assembly lawmakers down there. She has two daughters who plays athletics, and she's talking about how she wants her daughters to make sure that they have an advantage in terms of a level playing field. We also heard from swimmer Riley Gaines, who talked about competing against transgender swimmer Leah Thomas and how Riley said she felt at a disadvantage. Now, this bill affects middle and high schools in our state. It's expected to reach the floor of the state house. Supporters of the bill say some trans athletes will have an unfair advantage in girls' teams. Opponents point out there are only 15 trans student athletes all across North Carolina. We'll continue to monitor this press conference and bring you any new developments here in the WRAL Live Center.
Emergency responders returned to the scene of a parking garage collapse in New York City that killed one person and left five others hurt. The collapse left cars crumpled as a four-story garage pancaked onto itself. Engineers with the Department of Buildings are checking adjoining buildings, reviewing drone video and building records, and looking into possible reasons for the collapse.
We heard a big boom and we thought it hit our building, so we went to check the windows. We immediately saw smoke and we went on the side and we opened the window and it was completely just collapsed. Everything was collapsed, all debris, smoke, cars were sinking. It looked like out of a movie and it was horrible.
Officials say the garage had six open violations, three of which were classified as hazardous.
The man charged with shooting a black teenager who rang his doorbell is expected in court today. Andrew Lester is free on $200,000 bail. Lester told detectives he saw a black male approximately 6 feet tall pulling on the exterior storm door handle. He says he thought the teen was trying to break in, so he fired his gun twice. The family attorney refutes that, saying Ralph Jarl was trying to pick up his younger brothers and just went to the wrong house.
Where are we coming to in America when young people hit the wrong doorbell and you profile and shoot them?
Civil rights attorney Ben Crump pushing for hate crime charges in this. The bullets to his arm and head, family say, left him with a traumatic brain injury and a cracked skull.
Thousands gathered in downtown Nashville, Tennessee, in an impressive display of unity to advocate for gun safety. Voices for a Safer Tennessee organized this three-mile human chain. The nonpartisan coalition is dedicated to prioritizing gun safety. Demonstrators carried signs that read, "Protect kids, not guns." Some children also held up signs that read, "I want to grow up." A lawmaker who was expelled from the state house says the majority of people in Tennessee would like to see common sense gun reform.
I feel more optimistic than I ever have that we are on the precipice of ending the gun violence epidemic in our country because this movement is not being silenced, it's not being expelled, it's not being stopped, it's only growing.
Thousands took part, including parents and students of the Covenant School, which was devastated by a mass shooting late last month. Gun violence remains the leading cause of death for children in Tennessee. Meanwhile, voters in that state get to decide if two Democratic state representatives expelled by Republicans can serve their full terms in office. A special election will be held on August the 3rd to fill the seats of Justin Jones and Justin Pearson. Republican lawmakers expelled the pair last month after the two men joined in protests over gun violence. Both were reappointed to their seats days later, but only on an interim basis.
Well, here's something you don't get to say every day, if at all. UFOs are taking over Washington, D.C. today. Congress is holding its second hearing of those unidentified objects in the sky. NBC's Joe Fryer previews a story that is intriguing the entire planet.
There's a whole fleet of them.
For just the second time in more than 50 years, Congress is holding a hearing on UFOs. Today, lawmakers are set to question a top defense official who's in charge of analyzing those mysterious happenings in the skies. The thing is, we've been here before. Last year, Congress held a similar hearing, which left lawmakers with more questions than answers. Pentagon officials showed this brief clip with just a few frames of an object they classified as Unidentified Aerial Phenomena, or UAP. That's government speak for UFOs.
I do not have an explanation for what this specific object is.
Since then, intelligence officials' count of reported UAP sightings has exploded from 144 to 510. Well, many of the new sightings were determined to be balloons, drones, or birds. Nearly half of them remain unexplained.
This work must continue and it must be fully funded because we still don't have all the answers.
Senator Kirsten Gillibrand is chairing the subcommittee that will question Sean Kirkpatrick. He's the director of something called the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, which was established last summer by the Pentagon. This hearing comes about a month after Kirkpatrick co-authored a paper with an out-of-this-world theory that offers one explanation as to why UFOs would be attracted to our planet and are frequently seen over the ocean.
Splashed.
The authors write, extraterrestrial probes may use liquid water as their fuel. This would explain why they would target the habitable region around stars like the Earth.
Those are theories. My job as a senator is to get to the bottom and to know facts.
Now those eyes on the skies are shifting to D.C. as Congress seeks clarity on what has yet to be explained.
Joe Fryer reporting there on some of that phenomena. I feel like we've been transported into the Twilight Zone a little bit there.
And I just feel like with so much going on in our country, it's interesting that they're talking about UFOs, okay, of all things. Right. But no sightings here. We're not even seeing any clouds. It's just beautiful blue sky and lots of sunshine. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner with our beautiful Wednesday forecast.
It is so nice. I hope lots of people get outside and enjoy it. I've seen a few people walking through the Whirligig Park here in Wilson this afternoon. The whirligigs are spinning just a little bit. It's not nearly as windy as it was yesterday. And of course, that reduces our fire danger for today. Just a beautiful day. It is going to be warmer than yesterday. We were in the upper 70s yesterday, and that's where we are right now. Our dew point is climbing a little bit. So it's 48 now. It was in the 30s yesterday. The higher the number goes, the more muggy and sticky it feels out. But it's really going to stay very comfortable for us over the next several days, even as our temperatures climb. So we're looking at mid 80s for today, upper 80s for the next several days, but our humidity is going to stay nice and low. And that's just not something that we see very often. Typically, as our temperatures go up, so does the mugginess. And certainly as we get into summer, there's pretty much no escaping it. So this is sort of an unusual time of year for us where we have warm temperatures and low humidity. We do see it again sometimes in the fall, but it is definitely a time to enjoy. 81 in Southern Pines and Fayetteville. It's 78 in Goldsboro, 73 in South Hill and Roxboro right now. These temperatures are anywhere from 5 to 10 degrees warmer than they were this time yesterday. And so with very little change in our weather pattern, we would expect our temperatures this afternoon to be about 5 to 10 degrees warmer than yesterday. And that's exactly what we're looking at. 85 today in Raleigh, 84 in Durham, and 87 degrees in Fayetteville. We have high pollen counts still. I know people are wondering, when is it ever going to stop? We had a very early start to the pollen season, and it's still high for trees and moderate for grasses. It's low for weeds. And there's still some of that yellow pine pollen out there, too, causing some messy conditions. We have the peak of the season. season back in early March. We started to see a lot of that pollen as early as February, which is unusual. It's typically more of an April phenomenon. So we've had easily an extra month of pollen, a couple more peaks at the end of March and a peak at the beginning of April. It's definitely tapered off some, but hasn't completely gone away. I keep waiting for it to go away so I can finish cleaning the porch up. Such a beautiful evening for anything you want to do outside, especially heading out to the Carolina Hurricanes game and tailgating. 83 degrees at 5 o'clock, 71 at the end of the game. Our muggy meter way down here at refreshing. As we get closer to the weekend, it moves to comfy, but that's still comfy. Humidity stays nice and low. Saturday at 58, we're going to see increasing clouds and some showers and storms late in the day. So it bounces up a little bit. But for Thursday and Friday, those are really pleasant dew points when we have such warm temperatures. 74 is our normal high, 85 today, 87 on Thursday, and 86 on Friday. We're about to see a big change with Saturday's front. We're going to see late day showers and storms. That rain continues overnight. It's still warm Saturday at 79, but 68 degrees on Sunday. Saturday, showers, thunderstorms in the afternoon, and windy. And then on Sunday, the sun returns, but it'll be cooler and less humid, maybe with a few clouds. That front doesn't come in until after the Tar Heel 10 Miler. We're proud partners of this race in Chapel Hill on Saturday at 7 a.m. 60 degrees, at 9 a.m. 65. We're going to keep it in the 60s during race time. And, you know, maybe runners would rather have it in the 50s, but at least it's not going to be in the 70s. Coming up, we're going to show you the timeline for the rain that we'll see over the weekend.
Elizabeth, thanks. Consumer Reports is giving induction ranges high marks in their review. Why they say it may be worth your time and money to make the switch.
And at 5, we're hearing from Carolina Hurricanes head coach Rod Brind'Amour ahead of tonight's Stanley Cup playoff game. Pat Welter goes one-on-one with the coach in a story you won't want to miss. And still ahead of noon, it's been 30 years since the tragic shootout that left 86 people dead. Coming up, we'll remember the lives tragically lost on that day.
And it's been all over the news, artificial intelligence and how it affects our daily lives. After the break, we'll tell you how AI may mislead you to committing a crime.
A tiny intruder at the White House put Secret Service on a big alert. The agency says a toddler set off the security alarms as the child crawled through the fence. Secret Service responded quickly and reunited that child with its parents. And back in 2014, a similar situation happened when a child squeezed through the fence, prompting a temporary lockdown there.
Netflix is shutting down its DVD rental service. Netflix will send out its last red envelope on September 29th. Remember those? It reportedly mailed out more than 5 billion DVD and Blu-ray rentals to subscribers across the U.S. since 1998. Had no idea that it was still going on. The CEO says the shrinking DVD business has made it increasingly difficult to provide the best service for its members. Amazon is rolling out a new feature to help you hear what characters are saying in TV shows and movies. Prime Video is introducing Dialogue Boost. It analyzes the original audio in a movie or series and intelligently identifies points where dialogue may be hard to hear above the background music and the sound effects. The detail page for a title will indicate whether Dialogue Boost is available. You don't need closed captioning.
No. The chair of the FTC warns that AI tools like ChatGPT could lead to a turbocharge of fraud and scams. Lena Khan recently addressed House lawmakers about growing concerns on this. U.S. government officials are now working to crack down on AI-driven issues. Just last month, the FTC received a request to investigate ChatGPT over claims that it misled consumers about the tool's capabilities and limitations. One person is dead, two others are seriously hurt after a home invasion turned into a shooting in Fayetteville. The brother of the victim talks to WRL about his family's loss.
And the trial was over before it started. Dominion Voting Systems reaches a massive settlement with Fox News over the news station's 2020 election claims. First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers. Good luck.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
An investigation is underway after a deadly home invasion. Police were at the scene all morning. This was in Fayetteville. Officers first responded to Elfin Street after 8:30 last night. One person was shot to death. Two others were hurt. Michael Grace was at the scene overnight in the WRL Breaking News Tracker, and he spoke with the victim's brother.
It was an extremely emotional conversation, not only the brother, but other families here as well, just trying to take in the fact that their loved one now gone forever. And this is what that scene looked like. This is video from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker at around 2:30 this morning. You can see the entire dead end of the street was blocked off. Investigators did a thorough search inside the home as well as outside. You can see all the lights that they had out there. Now, at one point, there were even family members walking past the crime tape trying to get more answers. This is what the brother said about the loss.
As you know, my brother, oldest brother at that. It was like Superman, you know what I'm saying? You know, you look up to your big brothers and stuff, they're like Superman, they're your superhero, Mr. Indestructible, stuff like that. So when I heard about it, I was in very much disbelief.
Noel also told me that his brother has a son. He's still just trying to figure out how he's going to break that news to the son. Right now, we're still working with investigators to find out how many people were involved in this home invasion and find out if anybody is in custody at this time. In Fayetteville, Michael Grace, WRAL News.
New rules could be on the way that determine the books your child reads in class. A Wake County School Board committee voted to move forward with making changes as to how books are picked for classes and for libraries. If approved by the whole board, the changes would expand the reasons a book can be removed from a library. The age appropriateness of some books has been called into question. People in favor of keeping the books say they're being targeted for discussing race, gender, or sexuality.
And happening now in the WRAL Live Center, the State Department of Health and Human Services making this big announcement this morning. Free COVID tests are now available to all North Carolina households. All North Carolina households can now order these free COVID tests through June 30th. Residents are encouraged to order additional free tests while supplies last. Now, each household will receive two kits with five tests per kit, typically within a week of ordering. Households can place a new order for these tests once per month throughout the duration of this program. Again, you can order free COVID tests through June 30th.
State lawmakers are also discussing a series of bills meant to address maternal health in North Carolina. The Momnibus package includes addressing social factors, implicit bias in health care, funding for community-based maternal health groups, and support for moms who serve in the military. Recent data shows the state maternal mortality rate doubled between 2019 and 2021. And black moms are twice as likely to die in childbirth than white mothers in North Carolina. The WRL documentary team explored this in Critical Term, Why Are Black Mothers and Babies Dying? You can watch Critical Term anytime on WRL.com. Just click on the documentary section.
A peaceful demonstration at the University of Pittsburgh turned scary after someone set off a smoke bomb. Nearly 100 people were protesting a debate on transgenderism featuring a known conservative political commentator. No one was hurt, but police and medics were called to the scene as a precautionary measure. The scene was cleared shortly after 10 p.m. Buildings and streets were reopened. Hundreds gathered in Palm Springs, California last night for the Drag for Drag rally. The group was taking a stand against anti-drag or anti-LGBTQ legislation proposed or passed in at least 15 states across the country. Drag queens, local officials, and supporters came together to celebrate what they call the self-expression and art form that is drag.
Dominion Voting Systems and Fox News reached a $787 million settlement agreement. They narrowly avoided a defamation trial that was just after the jury was sworn in. NBC's Drew Petrimol reports this is not the end of the issue for Fox News or Dominion.
Lawyers for Dominion Voting Systems claiming victory.
The truth matters. Lies have consequences.
Dominion accused Fox News of spreading false accusations that its systems rigged the 2020 election for Joe Biden.
The machine ran an algorithm that shaved votes from Trump and awarded them to Biden.
At the center of it all, Dominion Voting Systems.
Are they the culprit here?
Dominion filed suit, demanding $1.6 billion in damages, Fox agreeing to pay Dominion nearly $790 million to avoid a trial where its top personalities and executives were set to be called as witnesses.
Throughout this process, we have sought accountability and believe the evidence brought to light through this case underscores the consequences of spreading lies.
Fox News releasing a statement acknowledging certain claims about Dominion to be false, adding it's hopeful the decision to resolve this dispute with Dominion amicably instead of the acrimony of a divisive trial allows the country to move forward.
What we wanted is the truth to get out there. You know, a forced apology isn't worth much. If they would just tell their viewers the truth about what actually happened in the 2020 election, that's what we're after.
Dominion promises to continue with legal action against other conservative media outlets. It says also pushed false conspiracies about the 2020 election.
And we continue to follow breaking news here in the WRA Live Center. A major development in that Sweet 16 mass shooting in Dadeville, Alabama from over the weekend. Two people are now in custody in connection with that shooting that killed four people and injured more than 30 others. The suspects, 17-year-old Ty McCullough and 16-year-old Travis McCullough, both from Tuskegee, Alabama, are charged with four counts of reckless murder. The DA for the district there in Alabama says both teens will be charged as adults. Several of the injured are still in the hospital, four of whom remain in critical condition.
Ken, thanks. See this car on its roof? Police say the driver of that car crashed into a group of teens, killing one of them. The crime they say he committed right before the crash.
Caregivers often shoulder an incredible amount of stress, ways they can best take care of their mental health so that they can take care of others. That story when we come back.
Today marks 30 years since the deadly shootout in Waco, Texas. The standoff lasted 51 days between the Branch Davidians and federal authorities. 86 people died, including 28 children and two pregnant women. This all started when police tried to arrest David Koresh, and a shootout followed. When the FBI decided to forcibly move in, the building went up in flames. More than a dozen survivors were later charged for the deadly shootout. We also remember on this day the Oklahoma City bombing victims. They were killed 28 years ago today. On April 19, 1995, a rental truck filled with explosives was detonated outside an Oklahoma City federal building. The attack was viewed as revenge for the deadly standoff in Waco, Texas, just 2 years prior. Two former U.S. Army soldiers were convicted for the attack. And one teen is dead after a car plowed into a group of students near a California high school. At least three other teens were taken to the hospital for various conditions in the city of Thousand Oaks. Police believe the driver of that white car intentionally ran down the teens. The 24-year-old is also suspected of stabbing two people at a local Walmart prior to that crash. He is charged with attempted robbery and attempted murder.
Our county by county coverage. Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Cumberland, Granville, and Wayne counties. Cumberland County is looking to offer help to nonprofit organizations working to make a difference in the community. Tonight, county staff will hold a virtual information session for groups looking to apply for funding through the Nonprofit Fiscal Recovery Assistance Program. Eligible organizations can receive up to $50,000. The application deadline is May 7th. As for today's information session, it starts at 6:30, and a link is on the county's website for that. Leaders in Granville and Vance counties are discussing ways to spend millions of dollars to address the opioid crisis. Granville-Vance Public Health is hosting experts with the Opioid Solutions Leadership Network for a series of panel discussions today. They'll examine the best ways to use funds set aside from a massive settlement with opioid distributors for their role in the addiction epidemic. And Wayne County Summer Youth Employment Program is back. It allows high school and college students to learn valuable skills in local government, financial literacy, and workplace training while getting paid. Applicants must be between 16 and 21 years old and live in Wayne County. The application deadline for that is May 12th. The internship runs June 19th through July 28th. Visit the Wayne County website to learn more and apply.
Scientists are sounding the alarm about the dangers of ultra-processed foods. Still ahead, we'll explain why eating more whole food is beneficial. And let's take a live look at Carolina Beach. Isn't it just gorgeous? Beach weather today with highs in the 80s. You're watching WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Elizabeth will be back after the break with your forecast. A new invention could alter the future of healthcare. The device is made entirely out of food items you may have lying around your house. Fox News correspondent Marianne Rafferty takes a closer look at an edible battery scientists say could help power ingestible medical devices.
Eating batteries goes against what we know about health and safety. But researchers from the Italian Institute of Technology are revealing a battery prototype that's actually meant to be swallowed. Dubbed the world's first edible rechargeable battery, scientists hope it can safely power different medical devices placed inside the body, especially as the development of ingestible technology like sensors and cameras continues expanding.
An edible battery allows us to ingest, for example, a sensing system, and degrade it into our body, like food, after it has performed its function.
The battery's positive end, called the anode, is made from a vitamin found in almonds. The negative end, called the cathode, uses a compound found in capers. Activated charcoal helps boost the battery's electrical conductivity, with a sheet of seaweed stopping the device from short-circuiting. It's all wrapped up in beeswax with pieces of gold leaf at the ends. Currently, this prototype can power a small LED light and can last for 12 minutes. Besides monitoring our health, researchers say the edible battery could be used to make children's toys safer in the future. According to the National Safety Council, more than 2,800 kids are sent to the emergency room each year after swallowing small circular button batteries.
That was Marianne Rafferty reporting. Going forward, scientists want to make the battery stronger while also reducing it to the size of a standard pill.
Caregiving for loved ones and adults might be personally rewarding, but can also add stress. A CDC survey reports nearly 15% of caregivers experienced mentally unhealthy days in the past month. Common signs of caregiver stress include fatigue, lack of motivation, irritability, and feelings of sadness and worry. Charlotte registered nurse Kira Powell suggests these key tips to reduce the exhaustion and burnout. Acceptance of things out of your control, take time for breaks, and express your feelings to someone. Experts warn the convenience of a fast meal can take a toll on our health. Ultra-processed foods like chicken nuggets, hot dogs, and soft drinks tend to have a lot of added sugar, salt, and fat. Registered dietitian Beth Cervoni with Cleveland Clinic says these foods can cause inflammation directly correlated with obesity or heart disease. She suggests to phase out ultra-processed foods from your diet and eat more whole foods like frozen or canned vegetables. These small changes can have a big impact on your health. And get outside and get some exercise as well.
Today would be a perfect day for it. We have so much sunshine out there. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRO Severe Weather Center.
It is such a beautiful day out there. We're going to start with a look at Goldsboro. You can also see Fayetteville. Well, there have been a few people strolling down Hay Street in front of our newsroom there. But boy, Chapel Hill has been busy. I've been standing here watching this camera just for the last minute or so. Lots of folks out, shorts and t-shirts, enjoying such a beautiful day. And Apex, too. Lots of people up and down Salem Street this afternoon. Just a lovely, lovely day. We're going to continue to see this pretty weather all the way through Friday, and then we begin a transition on Saturday that will really take hold as we get into early next week with some much cooler temperatures. Our cold front will be approaching Saturday. We'll likely have some afternoon and evening thunderstorms. Those will continue overnight, but move out pretty early on Sunday morning, and behind it, it should be dry Sunday, but it will start to turn much cooler. This is a look at our front that is pushing across the country. Along the warm front up around the Great Lakes, we've had some stronger thunderstorms, even a few severe thunderstorms popping up there across parts of Illinois. But this high pressure system is going to keep things nice and dry for us today, tomorrow, and Friday. And then eventually that front starts to move into our area on Saturday. Let's take a look at Futurecast. And of course, you can see this front sliding eastward. This is 8 a.m. on Friday. And as that continues to push closer to us, here's Saturday at 8 a.m. We watch that moving in. There's 3 p.m. on Saturday. So we could start to see some of these showers and thunderstorms after lunchtime, mid to late afternoon, as those push across our viewing area. Notice that by midnight, it's beginning to pull out of the triangle. And certainly by early Sunday morning, it looks like most of it is off the coast. So Sunday looks dry. It will also feel noticeably cooler. Behind this front, we're going to see some cooler temperatures. There'll be a secondary front that comes through Sunday night that really sort of solidifies the chilly air. And it's going to stay with us for a good chunk of at least the beginning of next week. So during the daytime, we'll see that chance of showers and thunderstorms developing mid to late afternoon. It continues overnight, and then it looks like it's out of here by Sunday. And now we've seen a number of runs of the computer models that are in pretty good agreement with that sort of timeline. So we're feeling pretty confident. Do continue to check back if you have outdoor plans on Saturday and Saturday night in case it looks like that is moving a little faster or a little slower than it does right now. This is a big update. The GFS model has really bumped up our potential for rain. It was about half an inch with the last run. So this is a big change here with maybe as much as an inch, almost an inch and a half. The European model still at about half an inch. This is a look at some other areas, 3/4 of an inch potentially in Southern Pines, half an inch in Clinton, maybe a little over half an inch in Roxborough. So we'll be likely somewhere between half an inch and an inch of rain. After everything moves out Sunday, it looks nice. It'll be cooler, maybe sweater weather with mostly sunny skies and temperatures in the 60s. And we'll stay in the 60s Monday and Tuesday, likely into Wednesday and Thursday as well.
Looks good, Elizabeth. Thank you. And Eagle earned the title of foster parent. Ahead, we'll tell you how this bird landed the new role.
And before we head to break, here's a look at the winning Mega Millions numbers. We have 7, 9, 15, 19, 25, and 4. The Megaplier is 2. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. Within the last 60 minutes, students walked out of a Moore County school protesting a recent policy. Some students at Pinecrest High School are upset with a policy that could potentially out members of the LGBTQ plus community to their parents. The school board approved the new rule at its meeting on Monday.
Raleigh police have arrested the man who they say started shooting at a downtown Raleigh apartment complex over the weekend. Hakeem Jones is charged with 2 counts of assault with a deadly weapon with intent to kill. Arrest warrants show he fired shots into 2 occupied apartments. Jones was released on bond this morning.
The widow of a Raleigh police officer killed in the Headingham mass shooting appealed to state lawmakers to push through a piece of legislation. The Gabe Torres Act would expand death benefits for public safety employees who are on the way to or from work. Torres was in his car about to drive to work when he was shot and killed back in October.
A 31-year-old eagle at a bird sanctuary in Missouri finally got his wish granted. Murphy the eagle went viral back in March for incubating a rock, believing it was an egg. Staff saw his desire to have his own eaglet, so now they are letting him take care of a 2-week-old little injured eaglet. Murphy has been showing him how to eat and take care of himself.
Our pet of the day is a beautiful senior lady with plenty of spunk. Fiona is an orange beauty with stunning green eyes that are sure to catch your attention. Fiona may be a bit shy at first. All it takes is a little patience and understanding to win her heart. Once she feels safe and secure in her new home, she's certain to shower you with love and affection. If you're looking for a sweet and gentle companion, fill out an application on the Cat Angels website, catangelsnc.org.
She's adorable. People volunteering for charity work is significantly down. Today on WRL News at 4, we look at how nonprofits are being affected by this and how you can help out if you'd like.
NBC News Daily is next on WRAL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can always get breaking news updates anytime with our WRAL News app. Get outside. Enjoy this. They certainly are. Carolina Beach right there. Blue skies, blue water. Have a great day.
Keep watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.